The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh yeah, 3 o'clock, and here we are. Hello, America. Glad to be with you this afternoon here at the TIB Network building, Truth in Broadcasting. That's what we're about. We're awfully glad to have you with us this afternoon. Beautiful day here. I hope it's nice where you're at as well. I would encourage you to call into the program today. 860, and there we go. Can't talk this quick into the show. I'm already tongue-tied. We got an 800 number for you, so you can call in toll-free. It won't cost you a thing. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254, and we'd like to hear from you today. Before we get started today, before I go any farther, I want to acknowledge a few people. Heard from so many of you last night after the show, the emails and so forth. It was good to hear from you, and I appreciate that. Always good to hear from folks who listen to the program, and if you've got criticism, ideas, whatever, let us know. We're big boys, and we can stand around here. We got, well, over at the controls over there today, we got Ryan Cronkite Riles, and he'll be checking in with news in a little bit.
Good afternoon, Guy. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. And are you? Do you like your new middle name?
Of all the names that could be worse, I'll take Cronkite. That'll work.
It's the most respected newsman in our history.
Well, yes, he's rather up there depending on who you talk
to. So you have big shoes to fill.
Large shoes to fill.
Yeah. And well, we've got a whole lot of things going on, but I wanted to acknowledge him today. And of course, our good friend Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio wants me to let you know that if you'd like to chat during the program, you may log on to headonradionetwork.com and invite you to use the chat room during the show. And you can do that. That's headonradionetwork.com, and you can hit the chat room in there. Also like to say a very special hello to one of our friends, Colonel Colin Chiro, and his wife, Kitty. How much can I butcher a guy's name? It's Chiro. And he's a retired Air Force colonel of some 31 years, and got a lot of correspondence from him in the past few days, and I'm awfully glad to have it. And Kitty, hello to you as well. One of our friends started up a new website called WalmartSucks.org, and if you want some interesting reading, go to there and see that. it's quite good. And before I go any further, I also want to say hello to some friends down in Texas that I met when we did our program from Crawford, Texas last year. They wrote and had some nice comments. Jen Barn, hello to you. And Derby 378 over on DU, hello to you. Good to hear you Texan folks. We had quite a time down in Crawford, Texas. To you newbies, so we'll have to let you tell you about it some of these days. And we also got a nice email from a couple of our friends, some very nice people in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. So it was good to hear from them as well. So hello everybody. Lots to talk about today. We'll get to the news to the news conference. I know so many of you watched that with bated breath this morning. Oh my. And last night I had an interesting evening. My wife and I went to a gathering down in Naples, Florida last night, courtesy of the Collier County Democratic Club. And Janet Reno was there last night. And she gave a talk. It wasn't a speech. It was a talk. A friendly chat between her and a few hundred like-minded Democrats. It was a sellout. And she spoke of her love of country, her love for the state of Florida. And anyone can plainly see that she's completely genuine in that love for her country and her great state of Florida. And she told of concern about the terrible educational system here in Florida. But Florida's not alone in having a failed school system, and she spoke of her concern about our environment and the bleak future for having enough safe water in our state here. And she spoke about the illegalities taking place in the Bush administration, and one could easily see by watching that Janet Reno is a woman of great conviction, of great courage. She's presently fighting the effects of Parkinson's disease, and she's doing it with grace and courage that's, well, beyond the capacity of most of us. I like Janet Reno. Always have. She proved that you don't have to be a handsome, physically beautiful, polished media star to be effective. She's the type of leader that I respect. A Harry Truman type gal, and she even spoke of meeting President Truman when she was president of the student body at, I think it was Cornell. And she said he came up to her shoulders. And we all laughed, but we all knew that she knew that Harry Truman was a giant of a man. And I enjoyed that gathering last night. I wish more politicians had her style. She's real. She's honest. She's highly intelligent. And that's all I want from my leaders. You give me those three things, and you don't have to be Bo Derek or what's that actor guy's name, sexiest man alive. I can't think of his name. George Clooney. You don't have to be in that catalog. And, of course, young people are going to say, when I say Bo Derek, they're going to say, who? A lot of people, youngsters today, don't even know who Bo Derek is, I'm sure. Guys my age all know who Bo Derek is. Did you see the press conference this morning? Oh, my God. I'll tell you something. This guy is absolutely hopeless. I think this pitiful performance this morning just highlighted how absolutely desperate the White House gang really is to send him out there and try and salvage something of his. I hate to say the word legacy, but he will have a legacy, but I think we all know what it'll be. And what a horrible performance it was. You know they're desperate to send him out to do the talking for him. And something else about this guy is just painfully obvious. He's a jerk. And I hate to say that about the President of the United States. Really, I do. I hate it. Because I've got great respect for that office. I've always had great respect for that office, but not for this man. You know, and frankly, to be truthful with you, I didn't like Lyndon Johnson very much. I'm a Democrat. I didn't like Lyndon Johnson very much at all. He did some good things. He did some bad things. I didn't like his style, but he wasn't a jerk. And I didn't like Richard Nixon. And he was a very, very difficult man to understand, a very complex man, a very nefarious character. But he wasn't a jerk. And I didn't approve of Ronald Reagan's agenda. But he wasn't a jerk. This guy is a bona fide, first-rate jerk of the highest order. You know it, I know it, and the really disconcerting part of that, the entire world knows it. God help us. I heard Bob Schieffer say this morning after that press conference was over that the George Bush that spoke this morning was the real George Bush. It's the George Bush, the private George Bush, that he said he's never seen the private George Bush on TV this morning, but that was him this morning. Wow. If that's the real George Bush, I'm glad I, very, very glad I don't, I'm glad he's not my neighbor. I thought he made an ass of himself this morning, condescending to the reporters, rude to the reporters. Couldn't have been more rude. That's my opinion. Like to hear yours. Give us a call at 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. We have many things to talk about. You know, I'd like to find out what you folks think are the issues that the Democrats need to work on to win the midterm election and to win the general election when it comes up in 08. What do you think? What do you think the real issues are? I think they can be boiled down to just a few, in my opinion. It doesn't take a lot of issues. The trouble is, we Democrats most of the time. I'm looking for a little quote I had here from Molly Ivins the other day. Democrats seem to want to have 50 issues and run on about 40 of them. I think she said something like that. I'm paraphrasing what she said. And it's so true. But, you know, we need to work on single-payer health care. Here's that Molly Ivins article. How many of you saw this? She's one of my heroes in the press. I love Molly Ivins. She's having a little bit of a health issue right now. We had hoped to have her on the program soon, and we still hope to have her on soon. They're going to let us know. But she said now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of the party. And I don't know about you, but I've had it with the D.C. Democrats, had it with the DLC Democrats, had it with every calculating, equivocating, triangulating, straddling, hair-splitting son of a bitch up there. And that includes Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's Molly Ivanstocken. And she said she won't be supporting Senator Clinton because Senator Clinton has no clear stand on the war. She says she can't see a damn soul in D.C. except Russ Feingold, who is even worth considering for president. The rest of them seem to me, she says, so poisonously in hock to this system of legalized bribery, they can't even see straight. Further down the article, says, look at their reaction to this Abramoff scandal. We don't need a lobby reform package, you dimwits. We need a full public financing of campaigns. You know, that's so true. Here they are passing this meaningless lobby reform package that's going to say they can't take meals and this. That doesn't amount to squat. What they really need to take care of. I mean, here they are wanting to cut out nickels and dimes that the lobbyists are giving them, but they're going to, you know, they're still going to allow them to give them the truckloads of money for their campaigns, and that's absurd. It's just absurd. But Molly wanted to boil down. I'm trying to see in this article here. Yeah, she says we ought to boil it down to three things in this election. Iraq is making terrorism worse. It's a breeding ground. We need to extricate ourselves as soon as possible. We're not helping the Iraqis by staying, and we're sure as hell not helping the United States of America by staying. Number two, full public financing of campaigns so as to drive the money lenders from the halls of Washington. Oh, what? Absolutely. And number three, single-payer health insurance. She thinks that we could run on those three items and win, and she says every Democrat I talk to is appalled at the sheer gutlessness and spinelessness of the Democratic performance. Well, Molly, I agree. She says, this is not a time for a candidate who will offend no one. It's time for a candidate who takes clear stands and kicks ass. Molly, right on. Now you know why she's one of my heroes. I know some of you had seen that article and some of you had not, but Molly tells it like it is, and that's my kind of gal. I think we're going to go to the phones right now, and we have Caroline in Washington State. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Well, good. It's so nice to hear from you.
Hey, I have I don't know if you knew, last Thursday, the March 16th, there was a backdoor bill that Senate voted on Social Security privatization.
Yes, yes.
I can't believe it. There's another bill they're going to introduce when they get back from the spring break, which is going to slash Social Security, and they're going to raise the age again.
Well, they're just going to keep raising it and keep raising it and keep raising it, and you know what we all thought we'd be able to retire, we're going to be old as Methuselah before. But, you know, there's one good point about it. They're keeping us alive longer now. So I guess when I'm toting groceries in a public supermarket when I'm 85, well, I get, you know, I'll be healthier than I would have been 20 years ago.
I think they want to kill us all, starving us to death.
Well, they certainly have no compassion for those who need help. The idea when they ran this last time on compassionate conservatism... That's,
I know.
On its face, is just absolutely laughable.
And there's another one, the bill that's going to come up for, it just came out of committee. Because of Democratic Underground and a Daily Code is the reason why I'm so up on these issues. There's a bill that's going to come out, they're going to be voting on when they get back from spring break. It's a medical insurance bill where insurance companies don't have to cover people who have a chronic illness like diabetic, any sort of chronic illness.
You know, Caroline, I've seen that coming for a while, and I know you have too. And when they're talking about these drug companies and the tests that are going to be able to do now, they're going to be able to test babies at birth some of these days. And someone will be denied for life health care because they might have a certain gene, you know, the gene research they're doing. They might have a gene for one of these things that takes over your body, and when they find out that you've got it as an infant, you'll be uninsurable for life.
I know. It's disgusting, isn't it?
It is. It is. But
I'm so sad that the direction this country is going.
Well, it most definitely is a sad direction, and I think so many people know it, and not only people on the left side of the spectrum know it, the people on the right know it. The thing is, do they have the guts to admit it and change the regimes in Washington and do something about it?
Okay, guys, that's why I want to just get out the information.
Well, Caroline, it's so nice of you to call. It's good to hear from you from Washington State. Where are you at in Washington State?
I'm in Mukilteo, Washington.
What's that again?
Mukilteo is a small town by the water.
Oh, okay, near the ocean?
The bay.
The bay, okay.
Yeah, the Puget Sound is very beautiful.
Well, Washington State is a beautiful state. And,
I'm like a half a block away from the water.
Oh, my. Well, that's great. And we say hello to you and all of our friends up in Washington State. Thanks for calling, Caroline.
You're welcome.
Good
and have a nice day, Guy.
Thank you. There's lots of bills pending in Congress that sensible people don't want anything to do with. The thing is, will the Democrats have the guts to step up and try and block some of these? They haven't so far. Not to suit me. Not good enough to suit me. So something's going to have to be done about that, because these people just deny, deny, deny. I've never seen a group of people that are so good at denying reality, and it makes me wonder, are they true psychopaths that they, and I'm talking about your Rumsfeld and your Cheneys, for example, are they true psychopaths and can't understand what truth is? Are they? It makes me seem that they are. You know, for example, Brent Scowcroft said last year that we may be seeing the incipient civil war in Iraq. And then David Frum went on, and you all remember David Frum. He misquoted Scowcroft and made a big deal out of that. And last week, the Iraqi interim prime minister, Alawi, he said, now who's in a better position to know? He said, we're losing an average of 50 to 60 people a day, if not more. And he said, it looks like they're in a civil war. And, of course, General George Casey, the senior commander of U.S. troops, says, oh, no, it's a long way from civil war. First of all, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? You going to believe somebody closely aligned with the Bush administration? I think we all know now that you can't believe any of those people. Vice President Cheney takes exception to Alawi and sees no evidence of civil war in Iraq. In fact, Cheney sees great success. It's fascinating when you watch this sort of thing. Here we've got the civil war breaking out in a country right in front of our eyes. And so it's 50 to 60 people a day dying. What do you have to have, a Battle of Gettysburg every day to lose 50,000 men to call it a civil war? Let me give you some figures. In El Salvador, that war lasted 12 years. They lost 100,000 lives. That's an average of 23 people a day. That was called a civil war by the United States government. The civil war in Algeria has cost over 200,000 lives since 1988. That's 37 a day. That's been acknowledged as a civil war by the United States government, and so on and so on. And the violence and the death rate in Iraq is much higher than those two places, three times as hot as some of the most recent deadly civil wars, and yet our government's in, well, no, it's not a civil war. And, of course, Cheney's sitting there saying, oh, it's a great success, a great success. Dick Cheney, good old Dick Cheney. I tell you, don't go hunting with the guy. I guess everybody knows that. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You know, a friend of mine came up to me the other day, and she said,
I understand what you're saying, Mr. Speaker. But what can I do about it? I can't do anything.
Well, if that, folks, we've already lost. But the truth is, this is a democracy. Every voice counts. Just when I thought my voice didn't count, it showed up on the AP Network News. So don't ever think your voice doesn't count. I'd like to give you a few suggestions of what you might do. And the bottom line is this. You've got to speak out. Speak out. That's what democracy is all about. That's what democracy is all about. How many of you have ever written to your congressman? It takes about 5 minutes of your time. And most of them have emails now, so you can just go on your computer, email it right to them. How many of you have ever written a letter to the editor? I've had about a 30% success rate writing to my local newspaper, so give that a try. How many of you have ever called into your local talk radio show? That's kind of fun to do. If you're afraid, hey, I'm afraid every time I call in. But if you let your fear rule you, then we've already lost. Remember what you have to do. You've got to speak out. Speak out. That's what democracy is all about. That's what democracy is all about. And for those of you who are really ambitious, run for office. Or just go to your local meetings, go to your school board meetings. Or you can go to some of the local protests. I went to the Portland protest against the logging policies of George Bush. About 3,000 people there. You say you're afraid? A lot of us are afraid. But then it occurred to me, why should I be afraid of free speech in a country that stands for free speech? We can't let our fear tell us what to do. So I decided what I had to do. I had to speak out. Speak out. That's what democracy is all about. That's what democracy is all about. So I've got one last thing I'd like to leave you with. My friend also said,
you guys are always against everything, but what are you for?
So I'm going to just give you the short list of what I'm for. I'm for affordable health care for all Americans. I'm for preserving our Social Security. I'm for cleaning up our air and our water. I'm for fixing our economy. I'm for education for all kids. I'm for affordable housing. I'm for food for the hungry throughout the world. I'm for preserving our free speech. I'm for aid to the disabled. I'm for alternative energy sources and getting off this oil bandwagon. I'm for AIDS research. I'm for civil liberties. I'm for finding ways to get along with the rest of the world instead of always making them our adversary. Surely in a country as rich as ours, this is not too much to ask. So I invite you to join me, and let's all speak out. We've got to speak out. Speak out. That's what democracy is all about. 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 That's what democracy
is. Oh, yeah, that is what democracy is all about. You know, we had a little talk last night before I get back to the phones. We had a little talk at that Janet Reno meeting last night, and she brought up such an interesting point. I don't know how many of you know how bad the schools are here in Florida, the school system here in Florida, but we always say in Florida, thank God for Mississippi, because if it weren't for Mississippi, we'd be number 50. But Mississippi slides in there just behind us. It is so bad here, the pay for teachers, it is so bad that the states, many Florida teachers are moving to Georgia so they can get decent pay as a school teacher. Imagine that. And until they pay teachers a living wage here in Florida, we won't have a decent school state. And another thing they do, they've got this system where they can now give these vouchers to the private schools. And what do? If the schools don't, if the public schools don't measure up, they take the money away from them and give a voucher to a private school. You know, a school that's struggling, needs help, has underpaid teachers. Is it smart to take the money away from them and give it to a private for-profit school? I don't think so. Well, right now we're going to go to the telephone, and we're going to talk to Mike in San Jose, California. Hiya, Mike.
Guy, Bush Eats Beef from Democratic Underground.
Hey, good to hear from you, my friend. Yes, sir. Good to hear from you.
We've been plugging for you. We've been putting the threads up there during the downtime. We're just so glad to have you back. Listen, the reason I called the conference this morning, there was one point where they asked him about his political capital. And he did that sort of serial killer giggle that probably was the same, you know, I'm so proud of myself look he had on his face when Barbara Bush told him that she was proud of his poopy diapers. He said,
"You put that so well."
Thank you. He said, I'd like to think I'm spending my capital on the war. And he just stood there for a minute and paused. And started giggling like crazy. And, I mean, obviously no one laughed with him.
No.
But this was, I've seen him in conferences before, and we've talked about it on the air, where he just was unglued or drugged or medicated or all of the above. This morning, I don't know what was different. Something was different. It's probably the worst I've seen him since the, you know, you want some wood, I got some wood thing during the debates with Kerry. And there's also the thing on Think Progress this morning. They've got the clip of him in the thing talking about how no one's coming out of Iraq during his presidency. It's up to future presidents to bring the troops home. So I'm just wondering how long the 30% of his base is going to stick around above.
You know, Mike, do you have any of those 30% living next door to you or anything?
My sister, who I haven't spoken to for quite a while, is a hardcore 30%er. She loves the guy.
Wow. I wish without having, you know, without having it being confrontational, which is very difficult, I'd like to get a bunch of those people together and get in a room with them and just have a calm discussion and find out what it is.
I'll tell you one thing it is, Guy, and we've talked about this before, too, is that you know I'm a Christian, and it's a struggle because Christians like Baskin-Robbins. There isn't no single flavor. You know, you can't put us all into one group.
That's right.
And I've got friends in business. There's a group I go to called Christians in Commerce, and these guys pretty much are primarily Bush voters. And I can tell you part of the reason why they voted for him in 2004. I'll lay out the whole litany of everything this guy has done or has not done, and they'll say, yeah, but Kerry believes in abortion.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What they're doing is they're taking the hard right-wing neocon evangelical Christian stand on this, and Bush is talking the talk whether he's walking the walk or not. That doesn't matter. He's saying what they want to hear. But there was also something on the web the other day where the evangelicals are saying, you got to step it up. You got to give us more of what you promised because we're not happy with you. So he's losing them, too.
Absolutely. And I think we all knew that the evangelicals were going to get more and more and more insisted upon having their way. They tossed them a bone, and now they're wanting more bones, and they're going to want their way on every issue.
Yep, they're going to want more than a WT shirt in the mail.
Yep,
Guy, have a good one. Talk to you soon, huh?
Mike, great to hear from you.
Bye bye.
866-546-5254 is the phone number. Toll free. You can give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind, whether you are yay or nay with what we talk about on this program. I was flabbergasted when I watched that thing this morning. I was. You know, when he's standing at the lectern, God, I just hate to keep going about this, but I'm fascinated by it, and I think psychiatrists across the country are fascinated by it too, because when he sits there and puts his arm up on the lectern and kind of looks at you sideways and gives you that little Texas thing of his, he's actually went from Maine or Connecticut or something, but he likes to pretend he's a Texan. Believe me, I was out to Crawford, Texas last year for the Cindy Sheehan thing that was going on there, and I met a lot of Texans. He's no Texan. And the real Texans know he's no Texan. They know that. From what I hear, the guy can't ride a horse. But it's just fascinating to watch his mannerisms, those smirks, And a friend of mine brought it up to me a little earlier on the web today that once again, and I watched some of the, I watched the film again. I'm not so sure they're not absolutely correct on this once again, that he was looking down and hesitating quite a bit. So was he bugged again? Did he have a mic on him again that he was waiting for the answer? I will say one thing. He was a little more fluid with these answers today than he normally is. However, the answers were a little more stupid than they've ever been, but they were more fluid, so I will give him that. But it's a fascinating and also, at the same time, tragic thing to watch. It really is. To see this man as the President of the United States is, well, it's a sorry state of affairs. It really is. Somebody's going to replace him soon. It's got to be a couple of years. If the Democrats get in office, they can get him impeached. That would be a good thing. But look who's waiting in the wings. That'd be a good question for all Republicans. Who would you rather have right now as president? Would you rather have Dick Cheney or George Bush? Cheney scares hell out of almost everybody I know. And when you hear a man looking at what's going on in Iraq and saying it's a big success, that's enough to scare you right there. It really is. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. But something's going to have to be done. The Democrats are going to have to win this upcoming election, and things are going to have to change, and we Democrats out here in the grassroots are going to have to hold them accountable. That's for sure. We talked a little bit about that last night, about Democrats being accountable. And the people up in the out in the grassroots here are fed up. We're fed up with business as usual. Washington inside the Beltway, Democratic politics. Absolutely fed up with it. And that's one of the reasons I think, I could be wrong, but that's one of the reasons I think Hillary Clinton might have a tough time getting the nomination. I know what the polls say, but I think she might have a tough time. Americans are looking to have somebody that shares their American dream with them again. The American dream of the people out here in the hinterlands. That's what we want. You know, I'm one of those idealists who feels America's dream is Martin Luther King's dream. You know, it was, what, about 100 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. Dr. King both shamed and challenged America with his great I Have a Dream speech. And if you've never taken the time to sit down and listen to that, do that. Do yourself a favor. Sit down and listen to that speech a couple of times close, because Dr. King referred to Lincoln as a great beacon of light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who'd been seared in the flames of withering injustice. George Bush is no beacon of light of hope. And I don't see anybody on the Republican horizon who is. And I know many people disagree with me, but I also believe that the American dream is Ted Kennedy's dream. Now, Ted Kennedy, warts and all, and he's got his personal problems and has had, although he seemed to be overcome it or not. But when Kennedy spoke to the Democratic Convention in 1980, anybody remember that? It's one of the greatest speeches I ever heard. And he asked Americans to renew our commitment to a fair and lasting prosperity and economic justice. You know, Kennedy finished that speech that night with these words, and I will never, ever, ever forget it. And no one should. These words should be on the halls of Congress, engraved in the marble. For all those whose cares have been our concerns, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die. George W. Bush is not concerned with economic justice. He's shown us that over and over and over again. George W. Bush is still calling for more tax cuts. Imagine that. And to make the ones he already passed out to his rich friends permanent. This after our Congress had to increase the limit of the national debt to over $8 trillion. It's gone up 40% in his administration alone. Think about that. One administration, 40% it's gone up. You know, a fortunate few benefit from Bush's insane tax cuts, but virtually all of us, and I mean all of us, and our children are going to end up paying the bill for those tax cuts. The sad truth is, the American dream, as I see it, and as Dr. Martin Luther King sees it, and as Ted Kennedy saw it in that speech of his, that dream is only being lived by a shrinking few. And that's not what this country was founded on. It was not founded on that. The reason this country was founded was to get away from that. Please remember that. The very reason this country exists today, the reason we broke away from King George and Great Britain, was that all men could be equal and they could have equal opportunity and so forth in this great nation of ours and have their American dream. And there was a time in this country that the American dream was open just about to everyone. Doesn't seem like it is anymore. I think that door's being shut to a lot of people. And I think it's our duty to do something about that. I really do. 888. There I go giving the wrong number. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We'd love to have you join us on the program today. It was good to hear from Mike from San Jose. He's a long-time listener to the Guy James program. Been around a long, long time. Found a great quote that I liked. I always like to have a quote of the day every day. You know, sometimes people get on TV and just make a jackass of themselves. How many of you know who Christopher Hitchens is? Ryan doesn't know who... Ryan, you don't know who Christopher Hitchens is?
No clue. Sounds like an actor to me.
I bet if I showed you a picture of him, you'd recognize it.
Perhaps.
He's this pompous ass, a British guy. He works for one of the, all of a sudden I can't think of who he works for in this country, a publisher, and he's a writer. And he writes a bunch of asinine articles, and he always takes the, almost all the time, takes the right-wing view of most everything, and he's very, very, very condescending. When he's on a panel with other people, he tries his best to make asses out of everybody, but it's usually him that looks like the back end of the donkey. But this is a quote from him back in January 28th of 2003, and I like to bring these up to people when they get all high and mighty and all Mr. Smarty Pants and think they know it all. This is a quote from Christopher Hitchens, January 28, 2003. And I quote, "This will be no war. There will be a fairly brief and ruthless military intervention. It'll be greeted by the majority of the Iraqi people as an emancipation. And I say, bring it on." Ah, yes. Well, it's worked out real well, hasn't it, Chris? Hasn't it worked out just fine? This from a man who seems to know it all. I know a lot of people who predicted this war would be a disaster. I'm among them. Said it right up front that it would turn out to be a disaster, and it's been all of that and more. It's been a disaster for the Iraqi people. It's been a disaster for the American people. Somebody had the guts to get up and ask Bush at that Cleveland deal the other day, "Hey, Mr. President, do you realize that this war has cost every family in America $19,000? Boy, did he duck that one. He wanted to run. You could just see he wanted to run. $19,000 for every family in America for this war so far. That's what they're saying. Wow. We like to keep track of lies in the press. You know, we always stress on this program, we like to talk about the truth each and every week. And where should we start this week? Lies and outrageous statements. Let me see what I can pull up here. Oh, here's a good one from the drug-addled brain of Pills Limbaugh, the most famous, most, according to Republicans, most believable commentator. Says he's 99.9% of the accurate. What about this one?
"Well, these insurgents are probably in their last gasp over there, or close to it."
Boy, do they ever look like they're in their last gasp. What is it? Alawi said 50 to 60 Iraqis being killed every single day, and they're in their last gasp. I don't think, Rush. I don't think so. And, of course, here's old Rushy boy again. We always like to point it out when he makes ridiculous statements.
A large majority of U.S. troops think that the U.S. should withdraw completely from Iraq within a year. Stars and Stripes reports that a poll of 944 U.S. troops in Iraq, conducted by Zogby, found that only 23% of service members felt the U.S. should stay as long as needed. The poll was funded by Lemoyne College's Center for Peace and Global Studies. And when anytime an organization has the word peace in it, throw it out. It's just a bunch of long-haired, maggot-infested, dope-smoking FM peace types that have an agenda.
So if you got peace in your name, you don't know what you're talking about if you're an organization. Oh, Rush. And there he is criticizing for people that smoke dope. Here's a guy who's a drug fiend on himself. Goes away to rehab God knows how many times. Lost his hearing on account of overdosing on OxyContin. And he's got the nerve. He's got the nerve to talk about somebody smoking dope. And what was he said? Maggot infested. He wouldn't know. Well, you all know what I think about Mr. Limbaugh. That's for sure. And, of course, we had more liars of the week. We had John Gibson and Dick Morris. You know, Dick Morris, Mr. Foot Fetish guy there himself. Him and Gibson. Well, let's go to him and Gibson, what they had to say here.
The far left has once again grabbed the attention away from more realistic Democrats and presented the country with the image of a Democrat leader, Senator Russ Feingold, demanding a censure, perhaps even impeachment, over something which most Americans actually approve. Is the NSA surveillance program illegal? New records from a secret spying appellate court say no, but it has become such a Democrat mantra that they are sure it was illegal. Therefore, the president must be punished, and the left wing is insisting on it. Trouble is, the vast majority of Americans approve of listening to Al-Qaeda's phone calls and think it is absurd and purely political to push either censure or impeachment over the surveillance program.
Now, let's just stop that right there for a moment. The vast majority of Americans approve. Now, he was smart enough to put in spying on Al-Qaeda in there. But believe me, the vast majority of Americans do not believe in spying on people here in this country. They just don't believe it. I mean, it's an overwhelming number. It's in the 70 percentile. And yet here's a man on Fox News, the pretend news, saying that the vast majority of people agree with Republicans on this. He's full of it on that one. Let's go on to Mr. Foot Fetish Dick Morris.
Is Feingold's pushing the wrong issue? If he was censuring Bush over something like the saying there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, there he might have a little bit of support. But the public overwhelmingly supports Bush on the wiretapping issue. They want that wiretapping because they think it makes them safe. And they don't believe the president should be censured, particularly not in the middle of war. Remember, this hasn't happened since Andrew Jackson.
What difference does it make how long it's been since it happened? If the bank hasn't been robbed for a long time and someone comes along and robs it, do we let him go just because it hasn't happened for a long time? This guy's a war criminal. Plain and simple. They lied about it. And here's Gibson and Morris sticking up for the internal spying here in America, saying that the vast majority of Americans approve of it, when we know full well that the polls show just exactly the opposite. That's called propaganda, folks. If you get on the air, if you get on Fox News particularly, and say it over and over and over and over again, then it becomes truth. I think it was Hermann Göring who said that the first time, that said you could do that and just do it over and over, the big lie. Or tell a lie so outrageous, so big and so outrageous that people would think it's so outrageous you couldn't possibly be lying. These folks are good at it. They're very, very, very good at it. It's just amazing to watch something like that. And where was this? Let's see, I want to go on to, Britt Hume. Britt Hume here, hey, Mr. Smarty Pants guy on Fox News. Why is it I'm always picking on Fox News? It's because they're the biggest misinformation group in the whole bunch. Britt Hume trying to say no one in Congress had said anything about this spying. Well, Britt, are you there or not?
They didn't realize about the nature of
the
surveillance taking place here within the United States on American citizens.
Juan, that is absurd. No politician among those who has been thoroughly briefed on this claims that the briefings were insufficient and vague.
Mr. Hume. That's a fat lie. You know it's a fat lie, and if you don't know that that's a fat lie, first of all, you're incompetent and don't belong on the news. But since you were on Fox, I guess it's okay. And here's Juan Williams tells him he's wrong.
Rockefeller does not claim that. Rockefeller has said many things about this program, but he has never said that he wasn't fully briefed.
Au contraire. In fact, on a July 17, 2003 letter to Vice President Dick Cheney, Rockefeller stated that the briefing he received on the program left him unable to fully evaluate, much less endorse, the wiretapping program, and that without more information and the ability to draw on independent legal and technical expertise, I simply cannot satisfy lingering concerns raised by the briefing we received. And here's Mr. Clean, Mr. Britt Hume on there telling a fat lie of just the opposite. But you know what? They get away with it. They get away with it over and over and over again. That particularly irritates me. It really does. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to call in the program, it's toll-free. We'd like to hear from you today. We really would. Here was it Mike brought up on the phone call just a little while ago talking about the hardcore fundies, the hardcore evangelicals. They want Bush because John Kerry believed in abortion. I don't know that anybody I know, any Democrat, any Republican, I don't think I know a single soul that thinks abortion is a good thing. I really don't know anybody that thinks it's a good thing. I've never heard anybody say, oh boy, what a wonderful thing abortion is, and I'm just all for it. Have you? I haven't. And for them to use that as a club, first of all, that just shows you that the evangelicals have been pounded and pounded and pounded by the pastors in the pulpit, by the likes of Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, James Dobson, whom really isn't a minister, but people think he is. They've just had that pounded into them over and over and over again, that the Democrats are a bunch of baby killing, they love abortion. It's not true. It's not true, and they've gotten away with it all this time. But the odd thing about it is the Republican Party has used that to get themselves elected, and yet what have they done about it? What have they done to overturn Roe v. Wade? They could probably do it right now if they wanted to. I don't think they do want to. You know why? It's no kind of a moral issue whatsoever, and I wish people weren't stupid enough to think that that's what the Republicans think it is. It's merely used as a club to beat over the head of Democrats every election, to use it to get themselves elected over and over and over again. So if they did away with Roe v. Wade, they wouldn't have that big club anymore, and they would lose a lot of votes, and they know it, and they're not going to overturn it. They have no intention to overturn it. Maybe the evangelicals do. But the people in power right now have no intention of overturning Roe v. Wade. You can take that to the bank. So they've been duped. Once again, they've just been duped. And that's really a sorry mess. It really is. Baby killers. Tired of hearing it. And our Democrats, we talked the other day. Who, if anybody knows more about this than I do, I cannot find that anybody outside of Barbara Boxer and Tom Harkin of Iowa have backed Russ Feingold on this censure. I don't know that anybody else has. We have Barack Obama says he really hasn't read it yet. Yeah, right. We have Hillary Clinton completely silent on the issue. We have almost all the Democrats silent on the issue. Has there been a president in the last century that deserved censure more than this fellow? We impeached a president for a personal matter that was wrong, but had nothing to do with the overall welfare of this country. We impeached him for that. No, they jumped all over that. But here we have a man that's lied us into an illegal war, depleting the national treasury on it. We've got, almost a $600 billion budget deficit. We're upping the national debt limit. All this is happening during this administration. This is an administration. This is a party that talks about small government. This is a party that's harped on the Democrats for years about being tax and spend. Tax and spend, tax and spend. And I will admit that there have been excesses in the past of the old Democratic Party. There have. A lot of the Great Society things were it was just overspent. There's no question about that, looking back on some of that. But how odd it is that here we have the Democrats being the fiscal responsible party in Washington right now, and the Republicans, who are just, always the ones saying we need smaller government and all that, they're the ones blowing the money. They're in power. Our budget deficit is out of control. Our debt limit has gone up 40% since Bush has been in power. This is all 100% to do with Republicans. They own it all. They can't pawn it off on anybody else. Not at all. And yet, what happens? They want to blame it on somebody else. You know, I was sitting in Washington, D.C., I think it was last year, having breakfast in the Mayflower Hotel with some friends. And that's a nice experience. You ever get to go to the Mayflower and have breakfast, I recommend it. It's a nice place to go, and it's the who's who. Except for yours truly. I recognized many, many people in that room. And don't you know, I sat down in the guy in the seat right behind me. It was Grover Norquist. And, a lot of people would say about the only thing you can acquire without money is debt. And Treasury Secretary John Snow typified it this past week as he notified Congress that the nation's treasury is busted. And we'd have had to shut down the government. Not only has it used up all the congressional appropriations, and a lot of that wild pork spending, that like that bridge to nowhere in Alaska, the Treasury has also been taking billions of dollars out of a few other governmental piggy banks, including funds for civil service retirement and disability, the federal employees retirement, and a currency stabilization fund, just to keep the lights on. That's all. All totaled, Congress is expected to approve an increase in the current, and they did, $8.18 trillion debt limit by perhaps $781 billion more. Under Bush, it's increased by $3 trillion. That's 40% since he was installed, and it's not a pretty picture. And as I mentioned before, the Republicans have long spun themselves as the party of lower taxes. Generally meaning, what it really means, they never heard of a tax cut they didn't like, and as if everybody else wants higher taxes. Republicans view lower taxes as a core political principle because they erroneously think it will promote limited government. Has it? Oh, my old buddy Grover Norquist, the right-wing strategist, who, by the way, is now under investigation for his association with Jack Abramoff, he proclaimed that his goal, and you remember this, was to cut government in half in 25 years to get it down to the size where we can drown it in the bathtub. You know, Norquist's metaphor is shocking in its brutally graphic nature. It's literal, and extreme interpretation implies that he's an anarchist. Think about that. Who believes that government should be abolished. That's what he has said. And the thing is, that's where Grover Norquist and George Bush part ways. What Norquist would abolish, Bush would enlarge. Norquist long held as the tax cut genius in Washington. He wants to get rid of government altogether, and Bush wants to make it bigger. Bush embraced the lower tax principle for its popularity. And, you know, he steadily demonstrated that he really is an oxymoron, a big government conservative. You can't be a big government conservative. He expanded federal involvement in state and local affairs, came on and put federal mandates in, and then left the states trying to find the money to take care of federal mandates. His legislative initiatives are costly. They're very intrusive into states' rights. You know, the idiot No Child Left Behind Act. You know, a lot of states, they didn't have the money for that. He said, I don't care, find it. You know, the Medicare prescription drug benefit, the Homeland Security, and the totally misnamed Patriot Act, it actually accelerated a trend toward greater government intervention in all of our lives. Is that what you want? So there really is a certain tragic irony that George Bush, by his gargantuan, and you can't put it any other way, his gargantuan spending and deficits, he's really helping Osama bin Laden meet his goal of bankrupting the United States. You know, Osama said that. I'm looking for that quote of that. Yeah, he said, we're continuing this policy and bleeding America to the point of bankruptcy. Well, who's helping him get to bankruptcy? George Bush is. Playing right into Osama's hands. And, you know, a couple of years later, Representative John Murtha from Pennsylvania, whom these Republican bastards already tried to swift vote him, it didn't work. You know, he's a decorated Vietnam veteran who retired from the Marine Corps as a colonel. And, you know, he sees that. The only people who want us in Iraq are Iran and Al-Qaeda. Why? Because we're depleting our resources, our troop resources, and our fiscal resources. The war on terrorism is worldwide. In Iraq, it's a civil war. And Murtha is exactly right on that. But yet they tried to paint him as some sort of a commie traitor because he said it. Well, I guess it just proves that you don't dare speak up or the Bush machine will get you one way or another. Even if you're speaking the truth, they will get you. Well, we got up about, 3 minutes before the hour? 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you today. This is your show, you know. We're going to check in when the news comes to the top of the hour. We've got Ryan Cronkite Riles over here getting ready to do the news at 4 o'clock. And after that, we're going to take your phone calls, and we're going to talk about a lot of other issues that we've got to talk about coming up. I was looking for an article I had here. I'm really good at misplacing things here today. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
They're the great deceivers. They'll fool you any way they can. They'll take away your rights, then call you an evil man.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers. Whoa.
Great deceivers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers.
They said they had compassion. They gave you a ration. The Bill of Rights, their passion. Your check, they be cashing. Ha ha. They fooled you again. It's a faith-based disgrace they got in place. Woo-hoo. And the planet, they're destroying it. Well, I hope you're enjoying it.
Ha ha. Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers.
Great deceivers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers. Whoa.
They say they trusted the people. Got you under the steeple. Now like a boll weevil, you in the axis of evil. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. It's H.B. Barnum and Bush. Never give a sucker an even break. Even you can be a fake. How much more of this can you take before you break?
I don't want the federal government making decisions on behalf of everybody. You need somebody in office to tell the truth. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. What I care about is could we work together. I trust people. I don't trust the federal government. I trust people. I don't trust the federal government.
Great deceivers. Whoa.
Great deceivers.
Great deceivers. Whoa.
You need somebody in office who'll tell the truth. I trust people. I don't trust the federal government. You need somebody in office who'll tell the truth. I trust people. I don't trust the federal government. You need somebody in office who'll tell the truth. You need somebody in office who'll tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
And now, time for news with Ryan Riles.
Thank you, Guy. Updating you on President Bush's news conference from this morning. In response to questions about the progression of the Iraqi war, President Bush acknowledged the public's uneasiness over the war's progression, but reiterated, "If I didn't believe we could succeed, I wouldn't be there, and I wouldn't put those kids there." President Bush was questioned on a variety of issues in this morning's news conference, his second of the year. When asked about his failed Social Security plan, all our president could muster there was, "I didn't get it done." And the president went on to confront Democrats who questioned the legality of his use of eavesdropping on suspected terrorists here in America. Excuse me. He called the censure resolution needless partisanship and challenged Democrats to go into midterm elections, telling the American people that the tools we're using to protect Americans shouldn't be used. Among other tidbits from this morning's news conference, the president also hinted that he may bring in a Washington insider to work with a disgruntled Congress. Elsewhere around the country, USA Today is reporting that Americans are overpaying in taxes. No surprise there, I think, Guy. Huh? However, according to IRS data, while Americans have been enjoying their largest refunds ever, they've been overpaying taxes by an estimated 29% in both the years 2003 and 2004. And for those of you who've lost luggage while flying, don't feel alone. The U.S. airlines industry released a report yesterday saying that they lost nearly 30 million pieces of luggage last year worldwide. They defended this by saying it represents only 1% of all baggage transported last year. And in Ohio, Michael and Sharon Gravel have been stripped of custody of their two adopted children, ages 11 and 15. You may remember them as the parents who locked their kids in cages at night. Stating that he didn't believe the lawyer's arguments that this was done for the children's own safety due to psychological problems. Excuse me. He preferred to believe prosecution's argument that the caging was more a form of discipline. The couple still faces charges of abuse in the children in the children in criminal court. in Rochester Hills, Michigan, which is near my hometown, in fact, guy. This is no surprise coming from there. An 18-year-old was arraigned yesterday on charges of planning a Columbine-style shooting at his high school. The threat of the attack was found discovered last week on a restroom wall, claiming it was to happen yesterday. In Nashville yesterday, hundreds of disabled people turned out against the city for providing them little help other than nursing homes. Police were forced to take 10 protesters to jail and cited another 50 for blocking city streets in their wheelchairs and refusing to move. Now, turning to sports, rumors abound that Condoleezza Rice, of all people, could replace Paul Tagliabue as NFL commissioner when he steps down this summer. These rumors stem from an offhanded comment Condoleezza made last year when she said she would love to be commissioner of the NFL. When contacted, though, a State Department spokesman said Rice has no intention of leaving her White House post. And for all you March Madness and bracketologists out there, get ready for the NCAA College of Basketball tournament to resume on Thursday. In your Atlanta region, number 1 Duke will face number 4 LSU, and number 6 West Virginia will face number 2 Texas on Thursday. Also on Thursday, the Oakland region features number 1 Memphis against Cinderella upstart Bradley, and number 3 Gonzaga faces off against number 2 UCLA, also on Thursday. Your Friday games feature number 1 UConn against number 5 Washington in the D.C. region, and number 11 George Mason against number 7 Wichita State in the Minneapolis region. In the Minneapolis region, number 1 Villanova faces number 4 Boston College, and number 3 Florida faces number 7 Georgetown. And again, those games are on Friday. And right now at the TIB Towers, home of the Guy James Studios, it is bright sunny skies with 76. Back to you, Guy.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes, back with you, and glad to be so. It's a beautiful day in Southwest Florida, that's for sure. It most always is. I bet the people up north, when the lousy weather gets sick of us saying that, I'm sure they do. But anyway, I do hope it's nice where you're at today. A lot of nice places around the country. We regularly hear from some folks in Phoenix. My brother lives in Phoenix, as a matter of fact. And so I get an up-to-date weather report from there. They recently went 141 days, I think it was, without a drop of rain, without any measurable rain. And they finally got the skies opened up a week or so ago and just poured on them for about 12 hours. So that was a good thing. We could use rain here in Southwest Florida. It's very, very dry. We're starting to get fires around here. And to those of us that were brought up in other parts of the country, it just seems so strange to have the land get so dry that it catches on fire. And I think right now they're tracking one down here locally. They think arsonist might have done that. I'm not so sure. But anyway, that's it with the weather around here today. And Ryan Cronkite Riles with I think he likes his new. His new nickname. I really do.
It's growing on me. It is. It kind of allows me to be a little free with my newscast sometimes.
Okay. Well,
I need to get in here earlier and get it ready for you, though, Guy.
All right. Well, I have to punch that clock a little.
Yeah. That's yeah. Definitely.
Of course, with the traffic around here now, Ryan drives, maybe 20 miles to get here?
Something like that, yeah. It's roughly 20 miles.
And this time of year, it takes, what, an hour?
it's funny. It can vary depending on the day and the time. It's anywhere from a half hour to 90 minutes. It's amazing.
That's the trouble when you live in an area like this. Our roads are nowhere near adequate for what we need. And like Ryan said, there are days that you could travel from here to there and you leave on a certain time and it could be 20, 30 minutes. Other days it's an hour and a half. So how do you decide when to leave? I'm one of those ones that I can't stand the most awful thing that could happen to me. I'd keel over and die, as my wife would be glad to tell you, if I was late.
I'm the same way. I am the same way.
I can't take it. I just can't take it. So I'm one of those ones that would leave at the same time every day and sit outside and wait for an hour of the time I've wasted. But, you know.
I think that's what I'm going to have to do now. That's just it's the way it is around here. You know,
yeah,
the way it is.
It truly is. But, hey, I did hear, I got some feedback about that school thing I was talking about, and the people from Mississippi, they didn't like it. They didn't like it that we put them down there at the bottom. But, hey, I didn't do it, and they did it. So what the hell? Good schools are good schools, and bad schools are bad schools. And polls, you know, I pulled this down off the wire earlier to just show you how damn ridiculous these Republicans are. I know you all remember, those of you that pay attention to this, and they had a poll come out not too long ago that showed Bush's approval rating down at 34%, and the CBS did it. And yeah, most all of you remember, they had all the Republicans come out and said, well, that poll wasn't fair. It wasn't fair because you polled a lot more Democrats than you did Republicans. So CBS said, all right, we'll go poll exactly the same number of Republicans and Democrats for the poll, which is fair. I agree. I agree with the Republicans on that. Guess what? It still came out to 34%. So I don't care how you cut it. The guy's just pretty doggone unpopular, very unpopular. 866-546-5254. We'd like to hear from you today. We really would. We've got so many things we could talk about, very, very many things we could talk about today. And we spoke about the demagoguery of Grover Norquist before the break, and Bush. And when you stop and think about the demagoguery that goes on there, just think how stupid that they think or probably realize the electorate is. You know, in the back alley, smoke-filled rooms of wherever they meet and talk about these things. I wonder if they say that to one another. I wonder if they acknowledge it and say, you know, these voters are a bunch of idiots. And we can tell them, yeah, go ahead and tell them that. Hell, they'll believe anything. I really think they do that. Because they literally do try and pawn off. I was going to say something about Shinola, but no, I and call it Shinola. But they really do that. And it's fascinating to me that people will just go ahead and believe what they have to say. Well, recently, Bill Frist, for example, you know, they're denouncing Bill Frist. Less than a week after he denounced the wayward path of deficit spending, this from the New York Times, to a gathering of 2,000 Republican Party stalwarts, Senator Bill Frist, the Senate Majority Leader and would-be president, was busy presiding over business as usual in the Senate. Last Thursday, Mr. Frist, 49 of his fellow Republican senators and one Democrat. You know, I missed out on that. I don't know who that one Democrat was. If anybody knows, call in, let us know. I'd like to know who. They just approved a $2.8 trillion budget for 2007, and the budget vote came just hours. This is true demagoguery. It came just hours after Mr. Frist and 51 other Republicans voted to raise the nation's debt limit for the fourth time in 5 years. To nearly $9 trillion. And what is that? Let me see. I don't have my calculator here. Is that about 12 zeros? I'm going to have to count this. That's your mission here. Figure that out. Is that 12? How many is a trillion? Nine zeros? Okay. All right. Nine zeros. See? It's such a big number, I can't even figure it out. But, you know, they all of that increase... I should have your mic up.
Yeah, 12 zeros. I take that. That's 12 zeros. Yeah, so, million is six, a billion is nine, and a
so
trillion
I was right
is 12.
In the first place.
Right, yes, you were. Yeah.
Okay, now we're even after that
thing
yesterday.
Yes, yeah, we're dead
all right.
Even.
All right. yeah, so anyway, all of that increase, that $781 billion that they had to increase it by, is going to be needed to pay for earlier tax cuts and spending increases, and if the Republicans get their way on taxes, to pay for future deficit finance tax cuts. Wayward indeed, the New York Times says. Mr. Frist has voted for every major spending increase and tax cut backed by President Bush since 2001. Every one. And the Senate leader for more than 3 years, he bears even greater responsibility than his fellow enablers for this country's dismal financial condition. And yet he is certainly not alone these days in calling for greater budget restraint while pursuing reckless policies. Man, isn't that something? They really do talk out of both sides of their mouths, telling people on the one side, oh, man, we got to cut back spending, and on the other side, to just spend it like, well, other Republican presidential hopefuls, notably Senator George Allen and Senator John McCain, have also been coming out forcefully as fiscal conservatives. This from the wildest spending gang that's been in Washington for a long, long time. And yet they want to blame it on somebody else. Pure demagoguery, plain and simple. And I looked up some numbers. Let me see, where did I do with these numbers? Yeah, in fact, I didn't look them up. A good friend of mine, Clarence Sweeney, researched this for me and sent these to me. But here's some numbers comparing Republicans and Democrats. Regarding wealth and jobs, from Harding in 1921 to Bush in 2003, Democrats held the White House for 40 years, and a Republican 42 and a half years. So the Republicans held it just a little bit longer. Democrats, in their 40 years, created 75,820,000 new net jobs. The Republicans, less than half of that, 36,440,000. You get the gist of this so far? The per-year average, Democrats, when they're in office, raise the job totals by 1,825,000. The Republicans, only 850,000. What does that tell you? The Republicans had 9 presidents during that period, and 6 of them had depressions or recessions, 2/3 of them. What does that tell you about Republican programs? Republicans had a recession and depression in 177 months when they were in office, and Democrats had a recession or depression for 32 months. The Dow Jones grew by 50%, 52% more under Democrats, and the GDP grew by 43% more under Democrats. Do you get the pattern here so far? Republicans have been bad for America. I don't care how you cut it. They've been bad for America. And folks, the figures don't lie. This is over 40 years. Well, it's over actually, it's over 82 and a half years. These don't lie. Jobs. You know, Clinton versus Reagan. You know how St. Reagan is idolized and memorialized in the Republican Party. And that's okay if they like him that much. That's fine. I still don't have to name everything in the United States after him anymore. But anyway, the jobs grew by 43% more under Clinton than they did during Reagan. The GDP grew by 57% more under Clinton than they did under Reagan. The Dow Jones grew by 700% more under Clinton as Reagan. The NASDAQ grew by 18 times as much under Clinton. Spending grew by 28% under Clinton, 80% under Reagan. These are the people who believe in less government. The debt grew by 43% under Clinton. It grew by 187% under Reagan, both of them with 8 years. Deficits, Clinton got a large surplus. The deficit grew by 112% under Reagan. The national income grew by 100% more under Clinton. Personal income grew by 110% more during Clinton. And it goes on and on and on and on. And Clarence asked the question down at the bottom of this research paper they did, how can anyone vote for a Republican? I'd like to know. Given these figures, given the pathetic history of the Republican Party in this, how can they do it? I would really like to know. You can even go back, and you know how they like to make fun of Jimmy Carter. You can go back and compare Jimmy Carter to Reagan. Carter, Jobs increased 13% in 4 years. Reagan, 17% in 8 years. Jobs, Carter, 10.5 million in 4 years. Reagan, only 15 million in 8 years. So the per month Carter average is 218,000, only 175,000 for Reagan. These figures don't lie. And yet they've demonized Jimmy Carter and put Ronald St. Reagan up on a pedestal. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. A lot of people don't. 866-546-5254. Be sure and give us a call if you'd like to put your 2 cents worth in on the program. Our phone lines, I think we've got them all ironed out today. I hope so anyway. We put a lot of time in on today and last evening to make sure they're working just right, and I hope they are today anyway. A quiet day on the phones. You must not have a lot to say today. I wonder why. Somebody, one time we were trying to decide out of listeners what percentage of people call a program. And it's pretty doggone small. It's very small. You've actually got about three kinds of callers on the phone. You've got the people that, listeners, you've got the people that listen every day and call every day, and then you got the people that call once in a while, and then you got the other people that don't call ever, and they outnumber the other two easily. Don't know why that is. A lot of people are, well, they just don't want to talk in public, and that's fine. That's one of the beauties of the internet. You can get on and discuss things from here to the cows come home, and you can do it anonymously. A lot of people like that. That's one of the great things about the internet. I love the internet, and I know a lot of you do too. It's a great way for a lot of us to get together that we wouldn't be able to get together otherwise. It's a great resource tool. My goodness. It never fails to amaze me how many times you can get on the internet and find things that, well, in the old days, you'd have had to go to the library and dig and dig and dig and dig. And nowadays, you pull up Google and hit it, and bam, there's your answer right there almost all the time. It's something that never fails to fascinate me. I mentioned earlier in the program today about going to a little get-together last night. It wasn't so little, actually. There's several hundred people there to see Janet Reno. And what a delight she was. If you missed that earlier, she is a delight and a wonderful woman. And she's very, very intelligent. And she's not one of these people that comes to a meeting like that and gets, you know, so many people. Politicians I've noticed over the years will come to a little soiree like we had last night, and you know, you've got your social hour and all that, and then the local business, they do that, and then the speaker will come in and speak for 20 or 30 minutes and then leave. She came in last night, and she stayed for the duration, and she stayed and pressed the flesh the rest of the evening, helped cut the cake, you know, take pictures with anybody that wanted it, talked to anybody that wanted it. It was really great. It really was. And she's a very gregarious gal and a wonderful smile on her face and just a wonderful attitude. I loved her. That's the first time I've got to see her in person. And she's born and raised in Florida, and she was talking about Marco Island when she used to go camping there when she was a kid, that there wasn't one single house on all of Marco Island. And you folks that don't live around here, if you could see a Marco Island today, you'd think how strange that sounds, that there was a time there wasn't one single house on Marco Island. Hey, I think we're going to go with the phones right now. We've got Ben Birch on the phone. Hi, Ben.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good to have you with us, Ben.
Why, thank you. Went out and voted today.
Ah.
It's our primary here in Illinois.
Do you by any chance live in the Sagales district?
No, I don't.
Okay. A friend of mine's helping with that campaign.
No, first time with an electronic machine here. We had punch cards until this election.
How'd you like it?
Well, this was a machine that was at least slightly confidence inspiring. In that, it's the way it records the vote is there's a paper strip that runs behind a window next to the screen, and it prints, you know, in English who you voted for.
Ah, okay. Okay,
okay. and then you approve that. Following which it prints a barcode. Now, I need to check Illinois law and see if we can audit the strip. But if our experience with auditing punch cards is any indication, we probably allowed that here.
Ah, okay. Well, now they have those all. You're up from the Chicago area, right?
I'm in Kane County, yeah.
Kane County. Is the whole area up there with the with these type of machines?
I don't know. I don't know. Ours did, but, you know, the way these things tend to happen is they happen when there's money.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Ben, how do you feel about that? You know, I've been one. I've been one that would just love to go back to the old days, where we had, you know, just the old days where everybody went and pulled the curtain and wrote it down on a punch card or a paper. I'd be willing to wait a few extra days to get the results, wouldn't you?
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, punch cards, despite all of the rhetoric about your experience there in Florida, if you design the ballot right, unlike the Palm Beach ballot. If you design the ballot right, so that it's clear who's what you're voting for, etc., punch cards are not difficult to audit and to recount and to examine for proper voting. The standards Illinois set are very clear, and those are the standards that the Florida Supreme Court was considering when Bush v. Gore shut them down. Okay? We've established standards here for how to determine whether there's been a vote on a card. And when you look at a card that has been misvoted in one of those ways, like, for example, in Palm Beach where the Chad Hopper was full, when you push down and you don't go all the way through the card, it is really clear because of the way the paper is distressed that a stylus was pressed down there. It's very similar to what happens on the second sheet of paper under your writing pad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can. It's very clear if you hold it right and look at it what was written on it. You know, and if not, you can use a piece of graphite and just develop it right away. You'll see what was written there.
I remember when we had that punch card fiasco here in Florida that they mentioned that one of the problems with that was that the local officials weren't good about keeping those cleaned out. And
they never had to before because there was, you know, never an election where so many people voted Democratic. Some of those districts where the ballots got ruined, it's because people have been voting the one punch, the Democratic punch, so much that hopper underneath that spot got full. Okay? And so this is a very interesting disproportional change in the vote because it means that when that hopper gets full, it's the Democratic votes that don't get counted, not the Republican votes. The Republican votes all got counted because their hopper was nearly empty.
Well, I knew we were in trouble. I have a close relative who was a high official during the Clinton administration. And during that time when they were having all that mess about counting the Chads and all that over there, I called her and I said, what can we do? What can we do to save this? Because they're going to steal it from us. And she just plain told me there's nothing you can do. They're going to steal it. They've plan to steal it, and they're going to steal it, and there's nothing we can do about it. And somebody that, you know, I trust, and God, you know, I hate to hear that, but turns out she was absolutely right.
Absolutely.
And it's going to happen again. I'm not so sure it didn't happen in Ohio this last time.
Well, it did. But they found some clever ways to steal it in Ohio. Not just miscounting ballots.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you take a minority working class, predominantly Democratic neighborhood, you know, where you've got the standard size precinct, and you give them two voting machines, and you take the same number of people in, you know, predominantly white, predominantly upper middle class neighborhood, and give them 12 voting machines. Who do you think is waiting in the rain at 11 p.m. to vote, Bill?
Exactly. And that took place in Franklin County in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
It also took place in Cleveland. And, of course, those are where the big votes are.
And numerical analysis, based upon the number of people expected to vote, and the ratio of voting early, you know, but the people who actually managed to get in and vote in those districts, indicates that, that in fact, those swung the election.
It sure did. And I hoped upon hope that I voted early this last time, and we went on a little cruise while that was happening, and I was expecting to be able to party on that ship and at night of the election. Man, was I sad the next morning. I just couldn't believe it happened again. But
you know, we've got to do something, and if we have it stolen from us this time, you know, I submit to you that there's a certain point in time when they have broken the social contract. And when they've done that, I think they've done it already, personally. But when the social contract has been broken, when you are no longer permitted to vote for who's going to lead you, okay, which is what stealing elections amounts to.
There's a lot of people who just don't give a damn. They really don't.
Well, I know they don't. But it's time for those of us who do give a damn to raise a fuss. You know, and I think something like a huge sit-down strike.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe we should just all show up one fine afternoon without permits or anything in Washington, D.C., and mill about the streets until they'll consent to talk to us.
I got a feeling if that happened nowadays, they might have you killed. They'd call out the National Guard, bring the tanks in like they did to the Bonus Army way back.
Let them.
Yeah.
I volunteer for that. Shoot me.
Yeah.
Shoot me first.
Yeah, I just have a feeling they wouldn't have a problem doing that. And
and if that's what it takes to get people to wake up and see what these people are, I'm willing to stand there and get shot.
Well, Ben, I'll stand with you. And do you think that the problem with this is apathy, that people just don't give a damn? Or do you think it's just hopelessness that they figure...
It's hopelessness. They believe that they are a tiny little piece of, you know, grist in the mill, and that you know, if they make a scene, they'll wind up in Gitmo, which, you know, is realistic.
Yeah, absolutely is nowadays. And then, of course, you can throw habeas corpus right out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I heard a big something fall in the studio. I don't know. Anyway,
I think it was another one of the Bill of Rights falling off the wall.
Yeah. 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 Well, anyway, that doesn't matter. But, yeah, Ryan's checking that out right now. I just wanted to make sure we weren't having an earthquake or something, and the studio was falling down. But, hey, he got it figured out. It doesn't matter. Ben, I want to thank you for what you're doing with White Rose Society. And I know everybody listening to this program right now knows who White Rose Society is, or probably wouldn't be listening to the program right now.
It would be kind of hard, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people understand just how diverse your site is right now. You've got several shows on, good ones, I might add.
Like almost a dozen, I think.
Wow, almost a dozen.
Yeah, and hopefully adding some more soon.
Great, great. And you also can podcast the programs now?
Yep, they're all the shows on the site get podcasts. They all get even posted to Usenet, which is, you know, really old school internet. You know, Usenet is a message distribution service that predates the World Wide Web, and I still post all the shows to that every day.
Let me ask you a question. I'm dumb enough I didn't know the answer to this. Gentleman actually called after the show was over last night and asked me, can he get the program on Web TV?
I don't believe that Web TV can play an MP3 stream.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's about the only thing that won't.
All right. I told him I didn't think so, but I just wasn't exactly sure. But the way you've got that set up now, you know, with the two different links, my goodness, just about any kind of a player will hook into the shows nowadays.
Absolutely. I'm looking at what it would be required to put a real player stream on for people who absolutely have to use Web TV, or Windows Media Player stream. But I, you know, that wind up with all these interesting licensing issues.
Ah, yes, and
you know, and I got no objection to paying for things, but they want you to pay for things based upon you know, how many people they expect probably will listen to you.
Oh, well, that's not the real world, is it?
No.
Probablys don't work that well. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's Windows Media Player, Real Player, those things, they're great for the user, but, you know, they want you to pay real money to broadcast with them.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I knew that about Real Player. Well, Ben, it's good to hear from you, and once again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you. We've mentioned on the program yesterday and today, but I want to thank you for all you've done, first of all, for this program, helping us get going again and setting up the stream and your technical advice, you and Bob Kincaid. It's been absolutely invaluable to us here at the Guy James Show. And secondly, I want to thank you for all you do, because I think the White Rose Society is a tremendous influence in this country right now. If it weren't for White Rose Society, there would be many, many, many thousands of people that wouldn't have access to good programming from the left. And you know, without White Rose, where else are you going to go? And I'm awfully proud of what you do, and I support what you do, and I wish you continued success with it.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and the same back to you.
Ben, good to hear from you.
You take care.
For all of you that don't know, that was Mr. Ben Birch, and he's the administrator of WhiteRoseSociety.org. And, you know, go there and look around. You can find a lot of really great things on White Rose Society. Lots of different programs. It's fun to go and listen to the different programs. You know, not everybody likes this program. Not everybody likes that program. Everybody's got, that's why there are many different styles of programs, something to suit just about everybody. And, we really appreciate Ben Birch at White Rose Society. Tremendous amount. He does yeoman's work on that. I don't know how he keeps up with all of it. I really do. I wonder how he does that. I mean, just in our new studio here, it's an engineer's nightmare. I don't know what his place must look like. I've not seen it. I don't know. He'll have to send me a picture of it sometime. I'd like to know.
Jim, have you ever seen... Excuse me. Well, have you ever seen the inside of the engineer's offices in a regular radio station? Ever their peak?
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of the stations nowadays have the floors where there's a false floor down, and they're
right.
Good work, and you pull them up, and my God, it looks like enough wiring to wire New York City underneath them.
I've never seen a clean engineer's office, never. So I can only imagine what his home looks like.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Ben's is probably pretty tidy, I imagine. I'd like to know. Send us a picture of that someday, Ben. Post it on the internet. We want to see what this all looks like, and we're going to put up some pictures of our little studio here some of these days. We're real proud of it. Looks real nice, and we've got all the latest equipment in here, and it's going to work out good. Want to give you a personal story, if I may. Had a tragedy happen in our household yesterday, and I'm telling you this for no other reason than to show you how human nature works and how fragile things are. We had a little dog, and it was a delightful little Yorkie, and only about 15 or 16 weeks old, and met with a tragic accident, home accident yesterday, and we lost our little dog, and we really didn't feel like going on the air yesterday at all, believe me. I'm one of those guys that was born and raised on a farm, and we had dogs outdoors, and I always thought that's the only place dogs belong is outdoors, and I don't ever want another dog in the house, blah, 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 and as it turns out, we got this little Yorkie. And good old guy who says he's not going to be snookered by any little dog, and I'm not going to be a slave to a dog, I became that dog's pet. And cooking meals and doing everything you do for a little dog, and it was a delight to have in the house. And he met with this accident yesterday and died, and it was a real tragedy in our home. And it just didn't really feel like going on the air yesterday and doing the show, and somehow we did, and it was good. It was a couple of hours to take our minds off of it, but there was this profound sense of sadness, and it just wouldn't go away, and it was up all night last night, and you know, people that have pets, you know how that is, and it's just a terrible, horrible, hurtful thing when a pet you love so much no longer with you. You look around the house and your pet's everywhere you look and reminders of it, and it's just was one of the most awful things I think I've ever been through in my life. But just to show you that the sun does come up every day someplace in the world, went out today and found another little Yorkie. And that little Yorkie is just as cute as a button. And we've got still the profound sense of sadness from the loss of our other dog. But the real paradox here is, at the same time, you can have sadness and happiness in your heart both at the same time. And although you can't replace what's lost, you can bring some additional joy into your heart that kind of makes up for it. And that's why we sound a little off kilter yesterday, and that's why. And I wanted to let you know that. Our office, we correspond back and forth with many of our listeners and through email and sometimes letters and whatnot, and they want to know things like that. So I just thought, well, I'll tell them this personal story. So it was a sad day, and today is much better. We've got a new puppy, and its name is Kukla, which... my wife is Greek, and Kukla means doll in Greek. And see, Ryan didn't even know that. He knew about this yesterday. And it's just as cute as can possibly be, just an adorable little Yorkie pup. Ryan will get to see it after the program's over today. So that's what's happening on the home front. From time to time, we'll let you know. But some of you knew about this yesterday, and you sent your condolences and all that, and I appreciate that so very much. We've got wonderful listeners on this program. Gosh, I must say, so loyal. We've had some people that have been with us the entire time we've streamed the program over the last, 3.5 years, with one brief hiatus there. And, you know, I like to mention them once in a while. And also, I want to mention, while I'm talking about this, that this program is donor-supported. And I suppose all of you know that, and it takes money to keep this going. We have to pay for, you know, streaming services and office supplies, and to say nothing of equipping a studio, which was in a very, very expensive manner. And we appreciate your donations to the program, and you can donate at PayPal. I know some people aren't sold on PayPal. I am. It's been something that's worked very, very well for me, not only for the show, but for other personal matters. I really like PayPal. And also, you can go to our website and find our address on there. And we would appreciate it very much if you send a donation to the program to help it going. Our expenses are going to be up. We're on Monday through Friday now. Lots of time. And we're working hard to see what we can do to present you with a fresh, good-sounding program every day. Ryan's going to be working hard making some new production bits for us. We're going to have some segments of the program we're going to have every day, and we are going to get a few minutes of Republican Love cranked up here again pretty soon. What do you got in the works, Ryan?
Just, you know, Warren, in terms of your production material, it's going to give me a week or two. I've got a lot of material to go over that you have, and I've got some other research I need to do on your program and things, see what you might like. Give me a little while. I'm going to do my best on those. It's going to take me some time.
2 days.
2 days?
2 days.
2 days?
You know, they told President Kennedy that they couldn't make it to the moon for like 20 years, and he said, no, I want it in, you know.
2 days?
Same thing.
Two days.
Yeah. So if you tune in, and Ben isn't Ben and Ryan isn't here Friday, I guess you'll know what happened. I don't know.
Oh no!
Yeah. Now,
evil.
Yeah.
Evil guy returns.
That's right. He's my evil twin. Now we're kidding, of course. So yeah, we've got some segments planned for you. We've got a lot of things planned for you to show. We appreciate your input very, very much, and we like to hear what it is you have to say. If you hate what we have to say, let us know. Let's talk about it. We like to correspond back and forth. I did mention at the opening of the show today that you could join the chat room at headonradionetwork.com today, and I don't know who's in there. I haven't had time to. You know, it's busy work when you're in here doing this. You're looking at gauges, you're looking at dials, you're running meters, you're doing this and that, and you're trying to look at what it is you're supposed to do. And it's very, very busy for both of us in here. So it's also very, very interesting. But I think the major force of this program, what I really want this program to do is try and get our Democrats to do what it is they're supposed to do. I'm very worried. I'm very worried that this country is sitting on a teeter-totter right now, and an ounce on the wrong side of it will send it spiraling down the other side, and we'll join the Romans, and we'll join the Greeks and the Egyptians as former great cultures. And I don't want to see that happen. And I know you don't want to see that happen. Nobody wants to see that happen, I don't think. But a lot of people can't see it happening in front of their eyes. And I think it's one of our missions here is to help people see what is happening before their eyes, before it's too late. And this next election, this midterm election coming up, and the general election in 2008, without a doubt, the most important elections in our nation's history. I went last night, and there were over 200 jacked-up Democrats ready to get out and work really hard, and my, have they done a great job in Collier County, Florida, by the way, Naples, Florida, big, thriving Democratic club down there in this Republican hell where we live. But they're ready to do it. They're ready to do it. We got one of our local councilmen here elected recently, a Democrat, mighty proud of that, only elected Democrat in the whole area. But that's the mission, to keep this teeter-totter from tilting the wrong way. And I can see it tilting, and it scares hell out of me, and I worry about my nation. I was brought up in a time where this country could do no wrong. It was probably one of the greatest times to be a kid in this country that's ever been. The World War II was over, the Korean War was over, and the Eisenhower years, the quiet years. It was a great time to be raised in this country. It really was. Yes, we had the Cold War, but, you know, when you're kids, you don't worry about that sort of thing. But there was peace, generally. And now we're in a terrible time of turmoil. You know, I was raised to believe that the United States was always right. We had the might. We had the willpower. We had God on our side. We were just number one all around. And there's been certain things happen in the last few years in this country that, well, have made me ashamed. Made me ashamed of my government a few times. And I never, ever wanted to say that. And I want to be proud of my government. And I know you do, too. So the time's coming during this election that not only is it good enough to be an activist on the internet or correspond back and forth, people are going to have to get out and work for this one. We can tilt that seesaw. We can. It's not too late. But if another regime gets in like the one we have now in 2008, I fear it will be too late. I think the Bush administration has already caused some problems around the world with our relations with other nations around the world that not going to be easy to turn around. There's a lot of people that don't trust the United States of America anymore, where once our word was gold, no matter where you went, our word was gold. And it's not anymore. And people like George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Condoleezza Rice, Doug Feith, people like that have made that so. And that hurts my heart. It does. Because I don't want to feel that way about my nation. The Guantanamo situation, this massacre that's coming to fore now that happened in Iraq this week, those are things that should never happen, never be caused by Americans. A war like going on in Iraq right now and the many thousands who have been killed, it never should have happened. I had a quote by Gandhi. I don't know what I did with it. And basically, yeah, here it is. I thought this was important because the war in Iraq, and Gandhi was talking about something else with this, but the war in Iraq is germane to this issue that Gandhi's talking about. He says, and I quote, "What difference does it make to the dead, the orphans, and the homeless, whether the mad destruction is wrought under the name of totalitarianism or the holy name of liberty and democracy. War is war. And many innocent people are collateral damage. And it matters not to them whether it was a totalitarian regime or the United States of America doing it. When you're dead, you're dead. Doesn't make any difference who caused it, I guess. But we, pardon me? Oh, Tallahassee. Okay, trying to read this one. We got a call. We got Peter from Tallahassee. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Hi, Guy. And I just wanted to tell you I am so glad to have you back. I just could hardly contain myself.
Well, thank you.
You have been missed, brother. You've been talked about in the chat rooms, and people were so excited to hear that you were coming back on the air, and we're just so glad that you're on White Rose. It's a great place to park, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, it's quality. I understand our stream is a very high quality right now. And,
yes.
That's good to know.
It's wonderful, and it's easy to connect to, and of course, Ben up there at White Rose puts out a rock solid stream. He's a precision kind of guy, and also too, Bob, I'm sorry, Guy, I'm just so sorry about your dog. You know, I'm very close to mine too, and in fact, I just gave her a bath a little while ago, and that kind of broke my heart. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I tell you,
it had to be rough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
And probably not a whole lot better today, but, you know, geez, it's just so easy to become attached.
Oh, it is.
To reiterate what you said about the Head On Radio chat room, we'd love to have the listeners stop in there. It's certainly open. All you have to do is go to headonradio.com and click on chat. It's very easy to do. It's a Java-based chat. You should be able to get right in. And I'm just really looking forward to, you know, your new start, and because all the voices that we can get out there that are actually telling the truth, God, we need them.
Oh, yes, we do. And you know, there's been many of us, including my own voice, silenced around this country because they didn't agree with our views and so forth. And, you know, there's safety in numbers, and sooner or later we're going to take this thing back. We are.
Yes, sir. We have to. And the president, I guess you can call him that, the resident, is melting down badly. The things that he did today, I missed it earlier, but I went to Crooks and Liars and saw his interchange with Helen Thomas, and it was horrifying. The man is really melting down. I'm scared.
Great. That, you know, me too. That was a meltdown this morning. Ryan didn't know about that website. He's always looking for material. Crooksandliars.com. You'll enjoy that, Ryan. You will. There's always a lot of good material on there, and audio feeds, and I don't know what all, but... yeah, that was a meltdown this morning. I watched that, and I thought, man, there's a guy that's he's just lost it. You know what I wonder?
What's that?
What does his dad think?
Good Lord. His dad has got to be so ashamed of him. No one who actually gets it, and as a former president, he's got to get it, even though he's making money hand over fist by all these evil deals that are going on. He's got to get the fact that his son is an embarrassment to this country.
Yeah, yeah.
We have fallen so far down in the eyes of every country. We had the sympathy of all the countries after what happened on 9/11, and now we're hated universally. We're a laughingstock. You know, after the 2000 election, I think the countries pretty much got it that there was you know, that it was given to him by the courts. But then when the 2004 election rolled around, you know, a lot of people, I think, believe that we actually voted him in, and I don't think that there's enough awareness, you know, overseas regarding the stolen elections and what's going on with Diebold and all that. I think that's kind of, I'm just hoping that when we take this country back, whoever does it will make a blanket and broad statement regarding the role that Diebold and these black box voting machines played in getting that man in office.
Yeah.
I just hope that we can reestablish some credibility, because I think we're looked upon as utter idiots.
I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right. Peter, it's so good to hear from you.
You too, buddy.
And you call us again as soon as you get a chance, and always good to hear from you. And the seat of power here in Florida, Tallahassee. Do you actually live right in Tallahassee?
I actually live about 18 miles out of Tallahassee, kind of in the woods a little bit. But, of course, I'm back and forth to Tallahassee every day. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's Jeb Bush world. You know, I've been talking to folks about what's going on in Florida. You know, we've got Ave Maria going up. How funny is that?
That's in our own backyard right here.
Yes, I was saying that the other night with, you know, no contraception being sold and all that sort of thing. And then you've got the outrageous, brutal murder of the teenager over in Panama City. You know, people come down to hear Disney World, but I want to tell you, outside the gates of Disney World, we are living in Bush Hell. It's just a different version.
Yeah, you know, Ryan doesn't live all that far from Ave Maria. And Ryan, I want to tell you one thing right now. You're going to have to watch your step over there, man.
Oh, yeah. I live right now where I live. I'm roughly 20 miles due west of where the town of Ave Maria is.
They even catch a guy like you in there, and they will tar and feather.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
They will throw you right out the front gate.
No question about it.
So you better watch yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and you know, we got it's pizza money. You know, there's
I'm very
funny. Those pizzas, you look out.
Yeah, Domino's pizza back in the old, well, not anymore, but it was. That's how Moynihan made his money. I was once sitting in a auction at, all of a sudden I can't. The great auction they had, car auction they have in Indiana every year, and all of a sudden it escapes me. They have it Memorial Day and Labor Day. Anyway, Auburn, Indiana. And yeah. I sat there while Tom Moynihan, when he had his car collection, he paid $8.5 million, which at that time was a record, and it may still be for all I know.
I know that. Well, I know Tom Moynihan well from I'm from Metro Detroit, so and he's based out of Metro Detroit. I'm very familiar with Tom Moynihan.
1935 Bugatti Royale, one of five cars made, $8.5 million.
Awesome car, though.
Good.
Yeah.
Lord.
Well, it was. It had big tires. I know that.
I should have. Oh.
Thanks for calling, Peter. Good to
Thanks
hear from you.
Thanks for being there, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Tallahassee is an interesting place. It most certainly is. For those of you, and I don't want to insult everybody that lives in northern Florida. I certainly most